Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you have mercy on each and every one of us as we come before you and to meditate the word of you. Open our eyes that we can see wonderful thing that is written both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Help us to understand and to walk in it so that we be truly blessed all the days of our life, not only now, but the life to come. Hear my prayer. Forgive all our sins. Cleanse all our unrighteousness. And we ask that you be mercy to each and every one of us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So very lightly, I'm going to reduce my sermon to one word. How should we live in the end time? I will only concentrate in chapter 13, 1 to 7. One word is submission. Submission to those who are in authority. And I'm going to use, both the Old Testament and the New Testament story, hoping that we can learn learn it well so that we won't get harmed. So I would like you to write that down. When I talk about submission in Romans chapter 13, I want you to write down Daniel chapter 3. I also want you to write that down. Revelation 13. Romans 13 is God's word. Daniel chapter 3 is also God's word. Revelation chapter 13 is also God's word. So we have to live in tension, submission to those in authority. There's a limitation. If you submit to the way that you go to hell, you don't submit. Then you prefer, then you die. Okay? You also write down Matthew 10:28. Will you please turn to it? So when you study the scripture, don't just study one part of it, then submit there, then you get yourself in the problem. Okay? The Bible says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Daniel's three friends. He did not submit to the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. He willing to die. Okay? Because if he bowed down to the image, and he will go to hell. Daniel chapter 3, you better remember that when you study Romans chapter 13. Okay? At the same time, you also remember, in the end time, there's two beasts. One is 13:1, and another one is 13:11. One is the beast from the seas, beast from the earth. These two beasts will force you to worship the image. You don't worship the image because your soul will go to hell if you worship the image. You don't submit. Other than that, you pay tax, you submit. Okay? Because this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pay tax. You say, oh, I don't need to submit. You know, I can do whatever I like. I hear some other people say, they just oppose the government, don't even pay tax. You don't do that. The Bible clearly stated that you're supposed to pay tax. Okay? So you have to know what it really means by submission. This is the criteria. Daniel's three friends did not submit to the authority. He submitted to the highest authority, the Most High God. Revelation chapter 13, Don't submit to them. Because the Bible said, if your name wasn't written in the book of Lamb, you will bow down to the image. You will go to hell. But as far as paying tax, as far as honoring the governing authority, we are supposed to do. Okay? Same as, because nowadays, last week we have what you call last Monday is it's Family Day, right? U.S. is a President Day. A lot of foolish people in U.S., they don't read the Bible. On that President Day, they say Donald Trump is not my president. These kind of rebellions, they're going to pay for. Brother and sister, you don't read the Bible and you watch the news and you follow that, you'll be in deep, deep trouble. Read that Romans chapter 13. Submit to the authority. There's no authority except the one established by God. In other words, without the permission from Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Donald Trump cannot be the president. He was instituted by God, same as Justin Trudeau. I don't care what kind of lousy policy that he has made, but you submit to him. Okay? You do not say he's not my prime minister. You don't do this kind of thing. Brother and sister, you learn the submission under the authority, governing authority. You learn it at home, submit to your parents. You learn it in the church, submit to God's servant. You learn it in the society, submit to your boss and submit to your prime minister. They will do you a lot of good. What did I say again? When you read 13 Romans, you also read Matthew 10, Daniel 3, Revelation 13. Then you get a balanced view. Everybody say, amen. Now I'll give you some illustration. What happened to those who do not submit to authority? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Everyone means no exception. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authority. For there's no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebel against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. In other words, if you do not learn submission at home, you will not learn submission in the church. And you will not learn submission at school. And eventually, you're going to ask yourself to be punished. Okay? And because the Bible clearly stated that in verse 2, consequently, he who rebel against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For ruler, hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fears of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will command you, for he is God's servant, to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. I want you to put a question mark. What does it mean by because of conscience? Questions
verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authority of God's servant who give their full time to governing, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Go back to verse 5. Before I go to verse 5, I want you to circle three words. Right beside gathering authority, you write down 13:4. The governing authority is God's servant. God's servant in verse 4 can either do you good if you do good. God's servant can bring you punishment if you are wrongdoer. God's servant, in these 7 verses, mentioned it 3 times. Circle the word God's servant in verse 4, for he is God's servant to do you good. If you do good, God's servant will do you good. The latter part of verse 4, if you do wrong, God's servant is an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Circle the word in latter part of verse 4, God's servant. He is God's servant. Verse 6. This is also why you pay tax, for the authority of God's servant. Do you know why? Do you know why Paul mentioned it 3 times? Gabby, do you know why God mentioned it 3 times? The authority is God's servant. Do you know why? Well, it's important, but why he mentioned it 3 times? Gene? If he mentioned it 1 time, very likely you're going to miss it. He mentioned it 2nd time, then he said, wow, God's servant, he will do you good, because if you do good, God's servant can bring punishment on you if you do wrong. Because he's agent of God's wrath. He's God's servant. He's God's servant, agent of God's wrath. What does it mean? It's God giving him the power to punish you. That's what he's trying to say, because he's God's servant. He's God's servant, that means he has to submit to God. Listen to me carefully. I want you to circle the word God's servant. There's 2 words there, God's servant. That means that servant is under God too. In other words, if these God's servants are against God's law, the higher law that we should submit. You understand? That's why Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, govern. Do not be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. He can only take your body. He cannot take your soul. He can put you to death, but you still can go to heaven. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nebuchadnezzar is God's servant. He said, how do I know? Of course I know. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27, he says he's God's servant. He is God's servant. Turn to Jeremiah. It's not only King David is God's servant. Foreign king is also God's servant. Okay? 27 verse 6. Let me read that to you, Jeremiah. Now I will hand all your country over to my servant Nebuchadnezzar. That's God say. God saying Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. If you do not submit to God's servant, that means you do not submit to who? You do not submit to God. And I'm glad Apostle Paul mentioned it 3 times that he said, the governing authority is God's servant. I don't care whether he is a wicked king or he's a righteous king. He is still what? God's servant. And all the people, the journalists, they're ignorant, they are politically correct. They don't read the Bible. They say things that they're causing our children to be rebellious. And they say, oh, let using the present day, tell the president, Donald Trump, you are not my president. You don't say things like that. You keep on saying things like that, then in the office, your supervisor to tell you something. Let me tell you one thing. Whenever your supervisor tells you to do something, you better be sure that you do it. And I'm not kidding you, because he has authority from people above him. Okay? If the company has to let either the supervisor go or let you go, I guarantee you, you are the first one to go. You submit to authority because he is God's servant. All right? Listen to that. Don't follow what the journalists say. Let's have a riot and tell the Donald Trump that he is not my president. You don't do things like that. He is the president of the United States. All right? I give you one illustration. A lot of Hispanic people, now they found out there's over 11 million illegal immigrants from Mexico. 11 million. 11 million, I don't really know what it means by 11 million. 11 million is one third of the population of Canada. That's how much is it. If I can't, one, two, three, amigo. One, two, three, another amigo. This is what it really means. You understand? This is what it really means. I'm saying illegal immigrant. I'm not saying legal. And then they are on strike. You know what happened now? He get the executive order and catch them all one by one to kick them out. People, if people read the Bible, understand the Bible, they can live a good life for his own and for his own family too. When you come into this country, this is country of law and order. And you come in here illegally and then you say, he's not my president. What is going on? The world is upside down now. Can you imagine someone get into your backyard and then get into the back door? And because there are more people, they say, this house is not your house, it's my house. How do you feel? This is exactly what happened. People are upside down. Brother and sister, submit to governing authority. If you do good, you'll be commanded by the authority. And he will do you good. You don't have to be afraid of him. If you do wrong, you better be afraid of him. You come here illegally, you better be afraid now. Because people don't do anything, they let it go. Now go up to 11 million. You know, all of that 11 million people, you know how many people give birth? A lot. And their children become American citizens. Okay? This is very messy. Okay? Brother and sister, read the Bible, read it thoroughly, and think it, what does it really mean? Now I say, God's servant can either, in verse 4, the early part of verse 4, God's servant can either do you good, if you do good, or God's servant can become the agents of God's wrath, sent by God to send you wrath, to send you calamity, especially to those who are wrongdoers. So if you don't want to be afraid of him, you want to be commanded by him, say that you are good, then you do good. He won't do you any harm. If he did it, God will deal with him. Because we still have a higher authority. Am I right? Now, I say that in Romans chapter 13, I'm going to ask Jean, okay? 13:5. I read that one more time. I give you time to think about that. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authority, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. What does it mean by because of conscience? I understand it is necessary for each and every one of us to submit to authority, at home to submit to our parents, because he is in authority. At school is the teacher and the principal. He is in authority. I understand that. If I don't submit, I bring myself punishment from him. Okay? So it's necessary to submit to authority, not only because of possible punishment. If I don't want to be punished, I got to submit. But then he gives us another reason. Because of conscience, you have to submit. What does it really mean by because of conscience that we have to submit? Anybody know the answer? Say it again. No, this teaching is to the saint. This teaching is to the saint. They have the Holy Spirit. This teaching is not to the disobedient. If I give you the answer right away, then, you know, it won't stick in your head. I'm not going to give it to you right now. Jean, do you know the answer? You're laughing? So this girl is pretty smart. You know, I'm telling you, whoever married this girl will do the husband a lot of good. Make sure you don't marry a non-Christian, okay? Go back to Roman. You know what? If you go to chapter 14, without remembering what you have read, you won't understand what Paul's trying to say. Because you have to use God's word to explain God's word. I read that to you. Chapter 2, verse 12 first. All who sins apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sins under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And then verse 14 to 15 is a parenthesis. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they saw the requirements of the law was written on their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thought now accusing, and now even defending them. Brother and sister, whether you have the Holy Spirit or not, your conscience is working, because God's law is written in your conscience. Although you have never heard God's word, just like I give you one illustration, the Chinese people, they know that they have to submit to their parents, even though they don't read the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten, the fifth commandment is honor your parents, right? We Chinese, we don't know that we have to honor our parents. It's the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is the fifth commandment, but we do know how to honor our parents, because this is This is true to my conscience. This commandment has already been written in my conscience. If I do things according to my conscience, either my conscience will defending me and say, John, don't worry, you've done a good job. Although all other people say you do wrong, you do it right. Your conscience will tell you that. Unless you share conscience. Unless you share conscience, you know. 埋没良心, okay? Unless you did that. If you just, you have a clear conscience, your conscience will tell you, either defend you, you've done a good job, or say, no, you are wrong. Your conscience will tell you that whether you're right or wrong, whether you have the Holy Spirit or not, because the God's word is written in the conscience. If you allow God's word to govern your life, now I go back. Two Bible verses, I want you to circle that. In those days, when the apostle were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, go to book of Acts chapter 13, chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these two persons, Peter and John, were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished that they took note that this man has been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who has been healed standing there with them, and there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with this man? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn this man to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John replied. I want you to write that down. He replied based upon the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He also replied based upon his own conscience. You write that down? 1:8. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, Jesus promised to all the apostles, you will have power to witness for me, not only in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. Witness for Jesus. This is how they are doing. When they were so filled with the Holy Spirit, they let his life be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. God has a higher order. I command you to witness for me. But they say, that the one in authority say, you do not witness anymore in the name of Jesus. And then what did they say? Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you. You is authority, governing authority, right? He can put him to jail. Do you know that? He can kill him too. I want you to write that down. 10:28 Matthew. Even though if you put him to death, you still go to heaven, it's still all right. No, it is, don't those people who did it, is not out of his own conscience. If it's out of his own conscience, you know that. He is the president of the United States. You are just a lower court judge. They do it because of political reason. They are nominated by the Democratic, not the GOP, not by Republican. They do it by the party line, not by conscience. If the conscience, you have to submit. He is the highest authority. He is the president of the United States. So that's what I'm trying to say, brother and sister. You watch the news, you are so confused. You don't even know what is going on. Some oppose and still survive. No, he will not survive because God is going to judge him. Anyway, I go back. I will give you a lot of illustration in the Old Testament, and then you take a look at that. Now, as far as chapter 4, verse 19, Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Because he was commanded by God to do so. He has to obey God. Verse 21, after further threat, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them. Because all the people were praising God for what has happened. They haven't done any wrong. What is the reason why? He faced the judgment because he healed the sick. He healed the lame man, make him walk. Okay. He didn't do anything wrong. He did things good, right? The one in authority is supposed to command them. Wow, you done a good job. Hey, my daughter's like that too. Could you come to my house and do something? They're not doing it out of their own clear conscience. If I find out that this specialist, this doctor is good, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to give him a pay raise. Because just in case if I get sick, I'm going to call him to heal me, right? People do things, most of the time, are not doing it out of a clear conscience. They shear their own conscience. They let the conscience die. They don't submit to the Holy Spirit either. They submit to the evil spirit, rebellious spirit, not the spirit of obedience. Okay? And okay, now I want to go to the Old Testament to take a look at what does it mean by because we don't want to get punishment from the one who has authority, so we need to submit to the governing authority. Second reason, because of my clear conscience, I got to submit. Okay, now take a look of 1 Samuel, learn from King David. Chapter 24, verse 5 to 6. Because Paul teaching is in conformity with the Old Testament teaching. This is the first time that God put the life of King Saul in the hand of David. David wasn't a king yet. I say that one more time. This is the first time God put King Saul's life in the hand of David. But David did not kill King Saul because of conscience. I read that to you. Well, just in case you may not read Old Testament, I give you some chapter 24, verse 1 first. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistine, he was told David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the creek of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pen along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to release himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. He is releasing himself. I mean, he had no warriors surrounded him. Okay? Verse 4. The man said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hand for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David creep up unnoticed and cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, I want to circle the word. Afterward, David was conscience stricken. Who do you think you are? You are David. You are a shepherd of your own father. You are nobody. How dare you cut off the corner of the robe of a king? He's a mighty king. He's anointed by God, by Samuel. Who do you think you are? Not to mention about struck him to death. Just cut off his robe. It's wrong already. Do you understand? David. That is why David is the man who's after God's heart. Hapsan Samu. He knows God's will, man. He knows what is right and what is wrong. You understand? That's why God greatly used him. It is not without reason. It is with reason. Brother and sister, listen to me carefully. That's right. That's exactly Solomon learned thing. You know what Solomon say in Proverbs? Walk with the wise, you grow wise. You walk with a fool, you become a foolish man. Because you, well, I'm so confused. I don't know what is right, what is wrong. Because they are foolish men. They have no God's word. You don't follow him. They're just being politically correct and thinking that this is right. No, it's not right. It's wrong. I read that one more time. Verse 5. Afterward, David was conscience striking. You know what? David was conscience striking. That means he allowed his conscience to govern his own life. He allowed the Holy Spirit to govern his own life. He didn't allow his own man's word to govern his life. A lot of his followers say that now is the time to kill him. Make use of this opportunity to kill him. You know what Paul say? Do not take revenge. Give room to God, man. It is mine to revenge. Not you. Right? He know God's word. A lot of his followers don't know God's word. If you are the leader, you better teach them God's word. If you are the parents of your household, you better teach your children God's word. Or else they're going to govern your life. And I'm glad they don't take a vote. If they take a vote, David lose. Because all his men say that kill him. Nowadays, in the church, let's vote. No, that's wrong. It's not that vote. Who do you think you are? You vote. You should have said, God's servant, tell me what God say in this matter. What should we do? Instead of voting. Voting being democratic. People rule. And if we let God's word rule, it's theocratic. It's God rule. Let's hear. And then David say, verse 6, he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such thing to my master." And then he explained who is his master. The master is the Lord anointed. That means the Lord's servant. Is the Lord anointed? If the Lord anointed, you don't touch him, man. You touch him, you'll be dead. "Or lift my hand against him. For he is the anointed of the Lord." How many times he mentioned that? He mentioned it twice. I don't think his followers get that, right? He is the Lord anointed. Verse 7, with this word, David rebuilt his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. You never make decision by voting. You make decision by God's will. This is God's will. And David saying, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his wood. You know that that's wrong. He shouldn't have done that. That's the reason why. Because of conscience. Right at that. 1 Samuel chapter 24, 5 and 6. You do a thing, it's not just because of punishment. You do a thing because of conscience. This is what it really means. And conscience is what? Based upon Romans chapter 2, based upon God's word. Right? Because God's word was written in your conscience. He is the Lord anointed. You don't touch him. Now, so 24 is the first time he get opportunity. He stopped his man not to kill Saul. That's a good job. The Lord is very happy about that. And then 25, there's another lady, Abigail. It's a wise woman. Spare the life of King David not to kill Nabat entire family. And King David said that this woman is a wise woman. And King David has conscience. He hears God's voice through Abigail. Later on, Abigail become his wife. That's 25. Now we go to 26. God gave him the second opportunity. Saul's life is in the hand of David. And this time, take a look at what David said. The general said to David, 26:8, Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't strike him twice. His right-hand man say that to him. Today is the time. Do it. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord anointed? Say that again. The Lord anointed and be guiltless. As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that. Circle the word. The Lord forbid it. He mentioned it twice. Here is 26:11 and 24:6, the Lord forbid. He did things based upon his conscience. If God say yes, he did it. If God say no, he didn't do it. So he has a clear conscience before God. He say, God forbid him. Verse 11, 26. That I should lay a hand on the Lord anointed. And mention again. Four times. Now, get the spear and water jar. And that I near his head and let's go. He didn't kill him. learn from David. You know what? You think God need you to strike him down? David know God can strike him down if he reach out the boundary, God can do it, right? And when his time is up, he will die too. Or he can even die in the battle. I don't need to do that. I let God to do God's word. You know what? If you think that, oh, now his life supposed to end, that means you are God, right? You are not God. Because chapter 26, listen to me. If chapter 26, if King Saul go to hell, I don't even know whether King Saul will go to heaven or go to hell. He didn't die. God allowed chapter 28 happen. Because King Saul prayed to God and God did not answer him. And then he called Samuel to come up. He played sorcery, divination. And God struck him down in the battle. And I know King Saul go to hell. So what have you learned in here regarding submit to authority? Chapter 24, all King David follower, did he submit authority, submit to David? They submit to David, right? Chapter 26, the left-hand man submit to David too. If we don't do anything, let God do it, then we know what's the end result of King Saul. Keep going. Chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 6. King Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dream or Urim or prophet. Saul then said to his attendant, find me a woman who is a Midian, so I may go and inquire of her. By doing so, he destroyed his own life. He didn't need King David to destroy him. Lesson to learn. Chapter 28, verse 6. When you inquire of the Lord and the Lord did not answer you, you don't go to inquire of a Midian. When you inquire of the Midian, that means you are disobedient. That disobedient unto death, you will go to hell. So, in chapter 28, I know how God is merciful to King Saul. He inquired of the Midian, and the Midian called Samuel to come up. And you and I know that. Come up from the earth, come from the ground. You know that our spirit, the one that we believe in Jesus, is in the paradise, in the bosom of Abraham. It's not from the ground, right? If it's from the ground, that is evil spirit. And they say Samuel is from the ground. So we know that it's not the Holy Spirit, it's the evil spirit. Because you and I know that. Luke chapter 16, the rich man, he go to the ground, right? Haiti. And then the beggar, right, is in the Abraham bosom, right? Now, when you inquire of the Lord, let's say the history can be rewritten. What should you do? Inquire of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer you. What's wrong with that? Because you are stiff-necked, you don't repent. Then what you should do is, you should repent. You confess your sin, say, God, I learned the lesson now, and I want to repent. Give me opportunity. Even though you don't hear me, I won't inquire of any medium. If I die, I die. I still believe in you. I tell you, if he say anything like that, he go to heaven. But he choose to inquire of the medium. Now, let's say now he inquired of the medium, and the medium say, you're going to die. Did he repent? No, he didn't repent. He could have repented too. Brother and sister, my God is rich in love, abounding in forgiveness. He is good, and he is good to all who call on his name, as long as you repent. But he didn't repent. He did not read Psalm. He did not listen to King David's teaching. He chased after his life. At the end, he killed himself.
Submit to authority.
You are God's servant. You are anointed. King David is also God's servant. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel anointed him. And you know that in 16, the Holy Spirit depart from you. The evil spirit come into you. Right? He didn't know that.
Even though both of them are God's servant, one go to hell, one go to heaven.
Do you see God's servant? Do you see God anointed? Do you see the end result?
Because he refused to repent, so he go to hell. He didn't go to hell because of that. I tell you why he go to hell.
He go to hell when he gets struck. He know he is about to die. He want to die right away. He could have used that opportunity to say, Lord, I know you are good God. Now the just punishment come to me now. I want to repent. I don't want to go to hell. Can he turn around and ask God for forgiveness? Just like the criminal. When your kingdom come, remember me. Can he say that? He could have said that. Brother and sister, listen to me carefully, carefully. You write down Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate, rich in mercy, abounding in love, slow to anger. And you still have opportunity to turn around. Because when you're in the battle, you get struck, you know that you're going to die, but you haven't died yet. You cry out to God for mercy and for forgiveness so that you can enter the kingdom of God. He did not. You know what did he say? He tell the armor bearer, kill me. He want other people to kill him. He didn't want to repent. That's why he go to hell. Do you see that?
You don't have to deal with the wicked governing authority, just like Saul. God will deal with him. And then through that, we know God is rich in mercy. That means, you know, if the history can be rewritten, I can turn around. I still can repent, right?
You are so fortunate to read this kind of Bible. You can save yourself and save those people around you. Make sure.
A few years back, William's father-in-law was in the hospital. I asked him, repent, follow after me, and pray and ask God to forgive you before you pass away. A lot of people, they don't know that. Make sure you have a good relationship with a pastor. I don't know whether Feng Bang Wo is the last Sunday, is the last day. I was very, very tired, but I still go. And I catch a cold. I want to save soul, man. That's the last opportunity. We didn't even know. And his wife don't even know how to save his father-in-law. They don't even know what I'm doing. You understand? You don't read Bible. I read, I understood. I know God is compassionate and merciful. Slow in anger and rich in love. In the last moment before you die, you still can turn around. Because God sent his son to save sinners, right? We are the worst of it. And if King Saul Paul can be saved like that, we can be saved too, right? We got to know how to save our own people. Grab hold of this opportunity. Ask him to confess before we go. But he didn't confess. How sad it is, right?
before I end, I tell you another story. King Saul asked the armor bearer to put him to death. But the armor bearer dare not do that. 31:4, Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and run me through, or this uncircumcised fellow will come and run me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do so. So Saul took his own life and fell on it. He killed himself. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three men and his armor bearer and all his men died together the same day. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. There's a foolish young man, Amalekite, thinking that he reported good news to King Saul. You know what happened? He was put to death. Even though you say that, I put Saul to death. He lied. Saul killed himself. He said that I killed him. Just because of what you say. You have no conscience. You don't even know that you have to be under the authority. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? King David is a messenger of wrath. Angel is agents of God's wrath and put into that. Our Heavenly Father, help us to learn what it really means by submit to authority. Know our position, know who we are, and know who is God. Give room to God. It is God to avenge. We don't take avenge. Least that we sin against you. Help us to understand your word and help us to remember we have to submit to authority not only because of we don't want to be punished by them, it's also because of our conscience. We know what is right. We know what's wrong. And help us to obey your word. Hear my prayer. And be merciful to each and every one of us. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.